Morning, everyone. Welcome to Masech Tishkalim. Today's daf is Daf Beis in Masech Tishkalim. We begin the new Masech. Okay, two quick questions I'm going to attend to, and then we will start the actual Masech. First of all, why are we doing Shkalim? So that's a reasonable question. Let me just explain to you why it's such a reasonable question. There's no Bavli. There's no Gemara Bavli on Shkalim. The Shkalim obviously is one of the Masechtas in Seder Moed. As we're going through the Masecht and Masechtos and Seder Moed, now is the fourth of the series of Mishnayos. We started with Shabbos, we went to Erevin, we then did Pesachim, and now we're starting Shkalim. Shkalim is the next series of Mishnayos that come along. So there is no Gemara Bavli on Shkalim, and the reason why is there's, generally speaking, no Gemara Bavli, and that is that this is information that applies to the Beis HaMikdash, and it is not quote-unquote relevant. It doesn't apply to the B'nai Bavel. Now, I will point out, and it's an obvious point, that the Talmud Bavli did spend a good part of its Gemara discussing Seder Kachim. So in other words, Zvachim Menachos, which obviously have nothing to do with B'nai Bavel and have to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and they were learning the Sugis of Kachim. So yes, it's true that the B'nai Bavel, the Yeshivas and Bavel, did study all about Kachim, and why they did is, you know, hard to verbalize, hard to put into words why they spent so much time on Seder Kachim. Probably has to do with the fact that they were yearning for the Beis HaMikdash and they wanted the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the learning of Karbanos is ki'ilu, it's as if we actually offer the Karbanos. So that could be why they studied Zvach Menachos and Rokamar and Zvach Menachos. But generally speaking, though, outside of that, if it's information that is not relevant, if it's not applicable to the B'nai Bavel, so generally speaking, the yeshivas and Bavel did not write about it. So in other words, almost all of Seder Zerayim, so the B'nai Bavel didn't write about it. And for almost all, except for one Masecht, which of course is Brachos, which is not really an agricultural Masecht, it has to do with Brachos. So they wrote about that Masechta. And for all of Seder Taharos, almost all of Seder Taharos, so the yeshivas and Bavel didn't write about that as well, with one exception of that, of course, is Nida. But Nida is applicable even today, even without the Beis HaMikdash. So when it comes to the first and the last of the Siddurim of Mishnayos, so the B'nai Bavel, generally speaking, didn't learn that, didn't touch that. And then when it comes to then everything in the middle, so generally speaking, they did learn that. Meaning, so once we start with Moed, which is what we're in right now, so Moed and Nashim and Ezekin and Kachim, so that the B'nai Bavel, they learned that. The Yeshivas and Bavel learned those and wrote Masechtas on that. Again, everything here is in generalities, there are exceptions, fine. That's generally speaking the rule. But when you get to Masechta Shkalim, which is now in the middle of Moed, so the Yeshivas and Bavel didn't write about it because, as we're going to be seeing over the next 3 weeks, it doesn't have much to do with any practical halacha nowadays. It has to do with the collection and the amassment of monies annually in the Beis HaMikdash so that we could buy karbanos. That's the general idea behind Shkalim, which is what we're going to be seeing over the next 3 weeks. And that doesn't have any relevance to the Yeshivas of Bavel, so therefore they didn't write about it. Okay, fine. As we know, there were basically two concurrent yeshivas going on after the Mishnah was written down. After the Mishnahs were written down, Mishnahs were edited by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and then we now go into the period of the Amoraim. So basically, there were two concurrent yeshivas going on. One yeshiva was going on in Eretz Yisrael, and another yeshiva was going on in Bavel. The yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael were commenting on the Mishnayos and writing on the Mishnayos and compiled a Gemara, what we would call a Talmud, and hence Talmud Yerushalmi. Concurrently, but historically though, it took longer. There was also in Bavel, they were learning in yeshivas in Bavel, and they were also editing a Gemara Talmud, and hence that's the Bavli. Okay, of the two, which one do we spend our time learning? So the Daf Yomi learns the Bavli. And not only does the Daf Yomi learn the Bavli or the yeshivas from going back for years and years, the yeshivas learn the Bavli, the yeshivas did not learn the Yerushalmi. How do I know I'm right? Well, it's very simple. First of all, we have a Masorah, we have a tradition, but also because if you look at the commentaries, meaning you look on the commentaries on the Bavli, what do you see? You'll see Rishonim writing on the Bavli. So all your Rishonim of the Ashkenazic Rishonim and Sephardic Rishonim, so they're all writing on the Bavli. So if you open up a Yerushalmi, which is what we're doing today and for the next 3 weeks, so what do you see? No Rishonim. The Rishonim are not writing on the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi simply was not studied to the same degree, to the same intensity as the Talmud Bavli. So the so generally speaking, that means then that the it wasn't traditionally learnt. The Rishonim knew about the Yerushalmi, right? We can right recently we just went through Rashbam's and Tosfosim and the Ram and they all knew the Gemara Yerushalmi. The Rif knew the Yerushalmi. They all knew the Yerushalmi, but it wasn't studied in the yeshiva with the same kind of intensity and fervor that the Talmud Bavli was studied. I guess we can also ask a general question, but I'll come back to the general question in just a moment, and that is why. Why was the Bavli studied over the Yerushalmi? I'll come back to that question in just a moment. So the Daf Yomi, but let me first take it from the perspective of the Daf Yomi. So why are we doing Shkalim? So I assume the answer is that when Rabbi Meir Shapiro made the decision to study the Daf Yomi, so he made a number of executive decisions. So one of the executive decisions that he made is that, look, we're doing almost all of Seder Moed anyway. We're going to be covering all the Masechtos in Seder Moed anyway. It's let's not leave Shkalim out. Let's do Shkalim. Now, granted, Shkalim doesn't have any Bavli, and granted, it has Yerushalmi, and granted, we don't generally learn Yerushalmi, but one of the executive decisions that was made by Rabbi Meir Shapiro was, let's do it. Let's do it anyway. We are going to be doing it from the perspective of the back of our Gemara. What do I mean by that? Meaning that in the Vilna Shas, what they did is they took the Shkalim, the Mishnayos, together with the Gemara Yerushalmi, and they published it in the back of the Gemara, of the Gemara Pesachim. So that even though we don't have, generally speaking, we don't have Yerushalmis in our Vilna edition, but nevertheless, though, the Yerushalmi on Shkalim was placed in the back. It's good, and to a certain degree, it hurts us. How so? Because if you look at our Yerushalmi, you'll see that Shkalim is now 21 pages. If you open up a standard Yerushalmi, meaning the way it's printed and published in a regular Yerushalmi, so you see that it's not 21 pages, it's actually 33 pages. So I think 33 is the right number. I looked it up yesterday. So it's 33 pages. So because we're doing it as it's printed in the Vilna, so unfortunate for us is that we're going to have to go quickly. And because it's really, it's a lot condensed into a little. You could leaf through the pages and you could see how small print, and everything here is tiny. My eyes really took a beating trying to get through some of the commentaries on the side of the Yerushalmi. It's a lot. And it's small. Okay, so that's so we're doing it because Rabbi Meir Shapiro says that we're doing it. So, and this is a case where conformity is good. Right? Okay, you told us to do it, fine. So together with the rest of the world, we're going to be studying Gemara Yerushalmi together for the next 3 weeks. Okay, to the larger question, which is really an important question, why do we study Bavli over Yerushalmi? Meaning, why don't we study the Gemara Yerushalmi? What happened? Is it when was this decision made, and why was this decision made? So I don't have all the answers. The questions are, it's a strong question. But I think the beginning of the answer, the Rambam basically writes as follows. I'm paraphrasing the Rambam. So you'll forgive me for not giving a direct quote. But the Rambam writes that amongst the Amoraim in the earlier generations, the yeshiva was stronger in Eretz Yisrael. Which, if you think about it, makes perfect sense. Meaning, Rav Yehuda Hanasi put down the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Hanasi was learning in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yehuda Hanasi, during his time, they were all living up north. They were all living in the Tveria, Tzipori area of Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote the Mishnayos, and after him, so then the yeshiva's perpetuated. If you think about it, he obviously has the Mesorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh. He's disseminating it to his students. His students are in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, in the beginning generations of the Amoraim, so really the main yeshivas were in Eretz Yisrael. What happened over the next about 300 years is that there was a shift of power, meaning that it was understood, the generation after Rav Yehuda Hanasi, that if you want to learn Torah, you would go to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah, because that's where the Masorah was. But over the next three centuries, the balance of power moved so that Bavel became the preeminent area of learning. Why that was the case? So the Rambam basically writes, he doesn't go into much detail, it's because that the B'nai Eretz Yisrael was dealing with so much turmoil, political turmoil, that they lost a lot of good Talmidei Chachamim to Bavel. And that's, without going into much detail, that's how he explains that there was a shift of power between the B'nai Yisrael and the B'nai Bavel. You will see very often as we go through the Bavli together that there are a number of times when there were disparaging remarks made by the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael against the Amoraim of Bavel. Right? I'm going off the top of my head. Right? You live in dark places, therefore you come up with dark ideas. Meaning the B'nai Eretz Yisrael would say to the B'nai Bavel. It was clear that the B'nai Eretz Yisrael at one point in time viewed themselves as the preeminent. So that was in the beginning generations, but once you got to Ravina or Ravashi, who were approximately the 5th century, so at that point in time, the main yeshivas were in Bavel, and so that continued the Masorah, and therefore our learning is really spent most of our time doing Bavli and not Yerushalmi. Okay, so two quick questions that I addressed so far. Number one, why are we doing Shkalim? So the answer is because Rabbi Meir Shapiro told us to do so as part of the Daf Yomi cycle. So we're conforming, and that's a good thing. And two, why in general do we learn Bavli, and why in general do we not learn Yerushalmi? So I quoted the Rambam. The Rambam says it has to do with the fact that the main yeshivas by the end of the Amorite period were in Bavel and not in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's begin. I'm warning you, and I'm speaking to myself primarily, the Yerushalmi has a different flavor to it. By the way, it's written in Aramaic, right? You'll get that right away. They spoke Aramaic and Eretz Yisrael even during the Second Temple. You will see all the Mishnayos, which we learned, which are written in Hebrew. Rav Yehuda Nasi wrote the Mishnayos in Hebrew, but whenever you get to a part in the Mishnayos that deals with actual language that was used, it's the Mishnayos were in Aramaic. So they spoke Aramaic in Eretz Yisrael, and I know it sounds strange, meaning what are you doing speaking a foreign language in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, but they did. And so when the Yerushalmi was written, even though the Yerushalmi was written in Eretz Yisrael, it's written in Aramaic. So Aramaic really was the spoken language. By the way, I don't need a lot of evidence more than when Unklus wrote Targum on the Torah. Unklus lived during the Second Temple. So when he wrote Targum on the Torah, he translated the Torah into what language? Aramaic. I mean, and he was in Eretz Yisrael, living during the Second Temple, and he's translating the Torah into Aramaic. Clearly, the spoken language in Eretz Yisrael during the Second Temple was Aramaic, and that just continued, even after the Chorban HaBayis Sheni, that the Aramaic was the spoken language. Okay. Good. That was all by way of introduction. Let's begin. The Mishnah over here and the Mishnayos in Shkalim are going to be dealing with one basic issue, and that is collection of monies, meaning basically public funds. If you're an accountant, you're going to love this. The next 3 weeks are going to be real heaven to you. So I say every Jew in their heart has really two yearnings. Okay, and I say this mostly joking and somewhat not. I'd say that every Jew in this world really wants to be an accountant. Okay, most Jews don't actualize that, but in other words, we all have an accountant, the hidden accountant within us. So this Masechta will speak to the hidden accountant in all of us. And then, of course, every Jew wants to open up a kosher restaurant. We're hardwired that way. You have to wonder why anyone would ever do so, but you know it's part of our DNA. We think we can make food better than everyone else, and so therefore we open up a kosher restaurant. Those are my two beliefs. You can disagree with both of them. You're more than welcome to, but anyway, I think this will speak to the accountant and all of us because it's talking about bringing in money. Why do we bring in money to Yerushalayim? What are we collecting for? So we're collecting for the Beis HaMikdash. There are, like any good institution, there are two accounts that we have to worry about. We have to worry about operational, and we have to worry about the dedication, the dedicables. So when it comes to the running of the Beis HaMikdash, so there's operational costs, the karbanos, right, the sacrifices that are brought daily, weekly, on all the upkeep of the temple. So those are all your operational costs. And then, of course, there's the dedication, right? The dedication of the Beis HaMikdash itself, which also is going to require money. Now, once the Beis HaMikdash is up, so that's it. So in other words, you don't really have to collect much in terms of the building, right? The building fund is over, but in other words, but you still have to collect for operational costs. So those are your two basic funds. The one that we spend most of our time talking about is a collection for operational running. All right? In other words, we have to buy animals. So simply put, we need animals in order to bring carbonos every day. In addition to that also, in other words, aside from the fact that the Beis HaMikdash has to run, but more importantly, everyone needs to participate in that, meaning part of what is a carbon seabor, the public carbon, is the idea that the public is contributing to the carbon so that the carbon operates and works on behalf of the seabor, on behalf of the community. So when everyone's giving their money, basically what they're doing is they're becoming partners in the carbon seabor, in the public carbon that are brought daily. So that's so that's basically what we're going to be discussing now over the next 3 weeks. And the Mishnah begins with the following. On the first day of Adar, so we make the announcement. Now remember, what's Adar? The first day of Adar? It's a month before the first day of Nisan. The first day of Nisan is the beginning of the fiscal year. Right? You know how every institution has fiscal years starting on what to us looks like arbitrary dates. Okay? And they are, in other words, but once the dates are set in motion, so that's it. That's the date where the fiscal year begins and the fiscal year ends. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they also had a fiscal year. The fiscal year began first day of Nisan. Day one of Nisan becomes day one of the fiscal year. We'll be learning over the course of the next couple of days that what's the significance of the beginning of the fiscal year is that all karbanos from first day of Nisan and onward can only be purchased from this year's money, from current money. You cannot use last year's money in order to buy this year's karbanos. What are we going to? In other words, what if we have any leftover money from last year? So we're going to come back to it. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about how money gets recycled. But in the meantime, however, just you should know, in other words, the first point to really understand is that when we're collecting money for the first day of Nisan, so that is because Nisan, day one of Nisan, is the beginning of the fiscal year, and that's where all operations are coming from new monies, not from old monies. So the Mishnah says, so on the first day of Adar, we make an announcement and say, okay, everyone, it's time to start bringing. Meaning we give everyone 30 days warning that it's time to bring in your machitzas hashekel. And the Gemara later on today will tell us 30 days and not 60 days and not 90 days. Meaning we want a window of time where people start to, it's enough time in advance, but it's, in other words, we got to move. So we're looking for that perfect window of opportunity. It's a month. And a la climb, and also there's an announcement over climb as well. Meaning, it is the springtime, it's the first day of Adar, so your growth in on your fields is starting to grow, and now they have administrators coming around making sure that you're not growing climb. And if you are, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, they're going to rip the climb right out of the ground. We'll talk about that later on. Over Chamisha Asar Bo Karin is the Megillah. Now on the 15th day, we read the Megillah. Now already, right, antenna should go up and red flag should start sounding off. The 15th of day, we're reading the Megillah. I'm sorry, let me read one more word in the Mishnah. Bakrachim, in the walled cities. Now one has to wonder, didn't we just skip a day? Meaning, what about the 14th day of Adar? Because the 14th day of Adar is really the main time that we're reading the Megillah. Meaning, it's only the walled cities that are reading on the 15th day of Adar, and the unwalled cities, that's most of the Jewish population, are reading on the 14th day of Adar. So why did the Mishnah just skip over the 14th day of Adar and go right to the 15th of the day of Adar? So the Gemara is going to ask that question, and essentially what the Gemara is going to answer is, because we're not learning Masechta Megillah right now. We're learning Masechta Shkalim. Shkalim is really interested more in the process of collecting the shekel. It happens to be that we're mentioning the 15th day of Adar, so we don't want to mention it and let this little detail go by. But we're not really focused on Kriyas and Megillah, we're focused on Shkalim, and it just happens to be that we're mentioning the middle of the month, the 15th day of Adar. Umetaknas Adrachim, so what we're doing on the 15th day of Adar now is we're getting everything ready. We're fixing the roads, Vesa Rechovos, and the roads. I don't know the difference between a derech and a rechov, but okay. As mikvahs amayim, we're fixing also the mikvahs, meaning on the way to Yerushalayim. Remember, in a month and a half from now is Pesach, meaning it's the first day of Adar. Sorry, it's the 15th day of Adar. A month from now is Pesach. So basically, now what the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash have to do is make sure that everything is getting ready and getting ready for Pesach. So we're fixing roads, we're preparing mikvahs. V'osin kol tzorchei rabim, and basically all public works are being performed from the 15th day of Adar to the 15th day of Nisan. Umitzainin esakvaros, and also they would make a mark around the kever, around the graves, so that Kohanim would know where to walk, where not to walk. And the truth of the matter is that this is not just limited to Kohanim. Meaning, remember, people are making Aliyah L'Regel. They're going to Yerushalayim. They want to be in a state of Tahara when they get to Yerushalayim. So therefore, marks are made around the grave to make sure people know where not to step. The Yosin Afal HaKlaim, and now we would go out on the 15th day for the purposes of ripping Klaim out of people's fields, if in the event that they're growing Klaim. Okay, that is the Mishnah. Adkan. We all understand, I just want to make this point clear. The Mishnah is the same Bavli Yerushalmi, meaning the Gemara Bavli, the Gemara Yerushalmi, they're operating with the same Mishnah. Now there is no Bavli over here, there's only Yerushalmi, but in other words, the Mishnah is the Mishnah, meaning there's no Bavli Yerushalmi about a Mishnah. The Mishnayos precede the Gemara's Bavli and Yerushalmi, right? So once we now start with the Gemara, so now we're entering into the world of Yerushalmi. The style is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be thrown off a little bit. And so I apologize if I make any mistakes, which I do anyway daily. But I apologize, as it's just going to be a little bit of a... We'll have to get used to it over the next 3 weeks. V'lama be'echad ba'adar. So the Gemara Yerushalmi starts off with the very simple question, the very basic question. Why make this announcement on the first day of Adar? So the Gemara explains very simply, Kedeshi Avi Yisrael Eshikleihem Ba'onasan, so that the Jewish people will bring their shekel in the right time, V'titarem Trumas Alishka Minachadasha Bizmana, so that when we get to the Trumas Alishka, the Lishka is the actual room, the chamber, where the coins were put in. The Truma Salishka, you're going to hear that term again and again throughout these next 3 weeks. The Truma Salishka is when we go into the room and actually take money from the chamber. We're going to talk, in fact, today we're going to learn that they did that 3 times over the course of the year. So when the Truma Salishka was taken, it was taken with new monies. And why new monies? Very simple, because I explained earlier. Because the fiscal year is beginning the first day of Nisan. We need all monies to be used for the new year to come from new monies. So therefore, we're announcing on the first day of Adar so that all the monies would arrive and be there in the Lishka for the Trumas HaLishka already on the first day of Nisan. So Be'echa B'Nisan, which is the first day of Nisan. Okay, Umar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Rebbe Yitzchak. And by the way, all these names of Amoraim we're just unfamiliar with, because these are Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael who are, we have Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael mentioned in the Bavli, but it's a short selection of Amoraim. Here we're going to see Amoraim that we've never heard of before, names that are going to sound a little strange to us. The Amar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Rebbe Yitzchak. Right, this is Rebbe Shmuel. I made this point a number of times. I just want to make sure I make it again. It's an important point. It's one that really helps you. If you have anyone with the title Rebbe, Israel. If you have anyone who does not have the title of Rebbe, so generally speaking, not Israel. Okay, why? Because Rebbe, when you have the title Rebbe, that means that you were given smicha. Okay, smicha. I'm not talking about smicha nowadays. Smicha nowadays is reverent, but that's all it is. Meaning, it's just a, you know, he learned a certain amount. He knows a little bit. No, he knows a lot. I'm sorry. All right, to myself I could be diminishing, but let me not be diminishing to others. So he knows, and therefore he's given a title of rabbi. But it's a reverential term. It doesn't. It's not smicha. Smicha in the good old days meant that you were given. You were given what we would call ordination. It's not a good translation, but you were given some sort of smicha. You were conferred some sort of title that goes back to the period of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it can only be done from Rebbe to Talmud, and it can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. It cannot be done outside of Eretz Yisrael. So once you're given the term Rebbe, it means that you were given this smicha. So you're going to see all the Amoraim that we're going to be discussing, because we're learning Yerushalmi, so they're, almost all of them are going to be Rebbe. So here we have Rebbe Shmuel, meaning as opposed to who we know to be Shmuel, right? Whenever we mention Shmuel, we're talking about in Bavel, right? He just went with the name Shmuel, that's it. In other words, then he wasn't given the title Rebbe, right? Most of the rabbis in Bavel were given the term Rav. Rav meant, you know, let's give him respect. Why do some Amoraim in Bavel have no title whatsoever? Ula, Shmuel, Abaye, Rava. Okay, so I don't...
Who was from Bavel?
Who?
Ula was
enough. Ula, right. Ula was an Eretz Yisrael. You're right about that. Okay. Anyway, so just know in general that you're going to see the word Rebbe a lot. So Amar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Rebbe Yitzchak Trumas Alishka Kitchilasa. Now what the Gemara is addressing is the following. Okay, or the how do I know the first day of Nisan is day one of the fiscal year? Meaning, where does that come from? So, and again, the Yerushalmi is difficult because a lot of these questions which I'm articulating right now are not actually in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi it seems to be. Let me say it that way. I don't want to make this statement too strong. It seems to be not as edited as the Gemara Bavli, and so therefore, very often the Gemara just kind of says something with the expectation of, oh, I know what it's talking about, without giving us a lot of preview of what we're talking about. And so, obviously, the commentaries on the side of the Gemara are helpful in terms of knowing what's going on right now. What's going on right now is the Gemara is going to tell us how come the first day of Nisan is the is day one of the fiscal year. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yitzchak Trumas Alishka Ketchilasa, because that's the way it was in the Midbar. Meaning, in the first year in the Midbar, we know that it actually goes back to the first day of Nisan. Dechsev, the pasuk says, "Vayi bechodesh arishon b'shana shenit bechalak chodesh hukama mishkan." On the first day of the first day of the first month of the second year, the Mishkan was set up. So you see that when did the Mishkan go into operation? It went into operation day one of Nisan. So you see that it is the first day of the fiscal year. Now, by the way, you could easily argue and you could just simply say, okay, that's just the first day the Mishkan was set up. How do I know the fiscal year begins that day? All right, but in other words, but it is evidence. Utni Allah, b'yom shehu kama Mishkan, bo b'yom nitruma ha-truma. On the day when the Mishkan was set up, that's when the truma was given. So answer number one to the question of how do I know that the first day of Nisan is the beginning of the fiscal year? So answer number one is, go to the first time there was ever a Mishkan. The first time there was ever a Mishkan, meaning in the desert, in the Midbar, so it was the first day of Nisan. And we know, we have a tradition that the Truma was given on that day. Rabbi Tevi, Rabbi Yoshia, B'shem Kahana, Nermakan Chadshei, V'nerma Lahalan Chadshei. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says, it says Chadshei twice in the Torah. Ma Chadshei Shenema Lahalan Ein Monin Ela Mi Nisan, Av Chadshei Shenema Kan Ein Monin Ela Mi Nisan. So the Bryce ends off by saying that Chadshei there means Nisan, Chadshei here means Nisan as well. That is the end of a Bryce. Amar of Yonah Shavak Rabbi Tevi Rosha de Masnisa, the Amar Sofa. So Rabbi Yonah says, I don't understand, you Shavak, you left out the beginning of the Bryce, you jumped right to the end of the Bryce, and how are we supposed to understand what's going on if you're just quoting the end of the Bryce? Dalken kahada, right? I think the girsa over here needs to be changed. Loken tani, right? Didn't we learn the following brisa? Meaning it's rhetorical. You'll see a lot of that. A lot of rhetorical questions being asked. So loken tani, didn't we learn the following? And now basically what we're going to do is we're going to basically go over the same brisa, but we're going to start from the beginning. Zos olas chodesh bechadsho. This is the carbon ola. So Yachoye Torim Bechol Chodesh Vechodesh. Now, as a Havamina, I would have thought, look, every month is called Chodesh. Now, Chodesh means month, Chodesh also means new. I might have thought that, you know what, maybe the Beis HaMikdash doesn't operate on a fiscal year, maybe the Beis HaMikdash operates on a fiscal month. Meaning so that what should be happening is that every single month we should be a new collection of monies, so that when we're paying for this month's karbanos, we're paying with this month's money. Not this year's money, but this month's money. Right? That's why every month is called Chodesh. So Tam Alamer, Bichadsho Lichadshei. Bichadsho Lichadshei. Now what we're going to do is we're going to darshan. Meaning because obviously the pasuk doesn't end there. But what the Gemara is going to darshan as follows. Bachodesh echad hu toreim lechol chadshei hashana. This month will be the month that you're collecting for all the months. In other words, read those two words again together. Bichadsho lechadshei. In this month, for the months. So in other words, we're going to select a month. That will become month number one. And that will be the month where all the monies that are collected that month will be used for that month and for all the upcoming months as well. Now, which month are we talking about? That's the end of the Braisa. Good. Maybe we could select, maybe we can decide which month is going to be month number one for our, at the beginning of our fiscal year. Nemar kan chadshei, v'nemar lahalan chadshei, ma chadshei shenemar lahalan, ein monin ela mi nisan, av chadshei shenemar kan, ein monin ela mi nisan. And now we have the Gzeres Shavah. The Gzeres Shavah, which talks about chadshei, the mentioned in Parshas Bo, obviously talking about the month of Nisan, because the month of Nisan is the first of the months, meaning we call Nisan Nisan. That's not the way how the Torah refers to Nisan. The Torah just simply says, you know what Nisan is? Month number one, Rishon. Right? And from the time of the Torah until we were exiled to Persia, so the truth of the matter is months didn't have names. Months were just simply month number one, month number two. Right? When's Rosh Hashanah? Month number seven, obviously. I mean, obviously. I don't know how obvious that is. But in other words, okay. And only after our exile into Persia were then the months given names. And by the way, those names stuck, meaning even after, well afterwards, we're still saying those months, the names of the months. There's a Ramban and Chumash that talks about why that is, why the names of the months stuck. But anyway, so since the month that's mentioned in Parshas Bo with the term Chadshei as the month of Nisan, so now we know that the month becomes month number one for the fiscal year is also going to be Nisan as well. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so that was our first discussion in the Gemara Yerushalmi. So again, just quickly recap and summarize. Basically, question. How do I know that? Why are we making an announcement in Adar? So answer, because Adar is 1 month before Nisan, and so we could start having people send their shekel in for the beginning of Nisan. How do I know that Nisan is the first month of the fiscal year? So either two answers. A, because when the Mishnah was set up, it was set up on the first day of Nisan, showing us that the fiscal year begins on the first day of Nisan. Or B, based on the Bichacho Lichache. That 1 month will be the month for all the months. Meaning we're collecting monies for 1 month, which will be used for the rest, the other 11 months. Which month is that? Based on the Gzeres Shavah, we know that's the month of Nisan. Mahu Mashmin. We're right in the middle of the Amud of Beis Amud Aleph. And the next question of the Gemara is, what announcement would they be making? So or what does the word Mashmim actually mean? So Ravuna Amar Machriz, and they would make an announcement. Heichma da'at Amar, v'inu kol b'Yehuda v'Yishalayim. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, just giving an example of where proclamations were made. I'm not really sure, if I could be honest with you, what was confusing about the word Mashmin that the Gemara needed to clarify Machrizin and then quote a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. I'm not really sure what the confusion was to begin with. But anyway, that's what the word Mashmin means. Tanan Taman Taninan, we learned the Mishnah over there. Ein bein Adar Rishon la'Adar Sheni ela mikra Megillah v'Matanos Le'Avyonim. So the Mishnah tells us, this is the Mishnah Megillah, that what's the difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni? Right, this year, right? We are now in an Iber Yar. We're in a extended year. So the way our extended years work is that we don't add just another day, but our leap years are that we add an additional month. So we get to Adar, and we're going to add another Adar. So there's an Adar Aleph, and there's an Adar Beis. And the reason why, we all know, and we'll talk more about this over the course of our Masechta, because it's important information in the context of the fiscal year, is because we know that if we just operate with a lunar year only has 354 days. It's 11 days short of a solar year. 3 years of that, and we fall a month behind the solar year. And what's going to end up happening, of course, is that our Pesach is going to fall further back and back into the winter, and then it's going to go back into the fall, and we're just going to, and what we need to do is we need to coordinate, we need to align the solar year to the lunar year. So what we do is approximately every third year we have to add an additional month, and so that they coordinate. Okay, it's not exactly every third year. If you do the math, you'll find that it's just short of every third year. So what we do is that we fixed a calendar, 1700 years ago, we fixed a calendar where out of a 19-year cycle, 7 of those 19 years are going to be leap years. Before the calendar was fixed, so how would they do it? As needed. meaning basically that what they would do is they would, when the Adar would roll around, so basically would convene, and they would look at the year, they would look at the season, they would look at where they are, they would also look at the numbers, and they would make a determination. I mean, it came out to the same result. It yielded the same result. The solar year and the lunar year was going to coordinate, was going to align, but they didn't have the fixed calendar that we have, and then a 19-year cycle every 7 years is going to have a leap year. In the meantime, however, when another month was added for the leap year, so the questions are just a very simple question. I have two Adars, right? Will the real Adar please stand up? Meaning, they're both Adars, there's no real Adar, but meaning when we have mitzvahs that we need to do in the month of Adar. When do I do the mitzvahs? An Adar Aleph or an Adar Beis? The answer is going to be, the Mishnah says, Adar Beis. I do the mitzvahs in Adar Beis. So Mikra Megillah Matan Lev Yonim. So it's done in Adar Beis. It is interesting, by the way, that the Mishnah over there talks only about the reading of the Megillah Matan Lev Yonim. Meaning, what about Mishloach Manos? How come the Mishnah doesn't mention that? Anyway, Rabbi Simon B'Shem Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, Af Shimua Shkalim Uklayim B'Nehem. Let's add something more to that Mishnah. Meaning, now that we're learning Masech Teshkalim, so let's come at this Mishnah from our perspective. Meaning, if there are two Adars, so let's ask now a very simple question. When do I make our proclamation? Our proclamation is normally made on the first day of Adar, so that people have 1 month's time to bring their shekel to the base of Mikdash. In a year where there's two Adars, so when's the right time to make the proclamation? Answers the Gemara, Adar Sheni, not Adar Aleph. Rabbi Chelba, Rav Huna, Rav Vishem, Rabbi Chia, Rabba, Ha Kol Yotzim Yodal, Shu Uzman Kriyasa. The Gemara interjects over here with a line about the reading of the Megillah, which takes place on the 14th day, not on the 15th day. The truth of the matter is that line doesn't belong here in the Gemara, so says the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi. But in the meantime, however, it just kind of snuck its way in. Anyway, I'm Rav Yossi Veyeus. So Rav Yossi says, this is not the Tana Rav Yossi, can't be, we're learning the Gemara right now, it's an Amara, the Yeus. That's correct. Meaning, in a year where there are two Adars, the correct time to make the proclamation is not the first Adar, but the second Adar. Why? Isn't the reason why, it's rhetorical, isn't the reason why the proclamation is made so that people would bring in the right time? Im at amart ba'adar rishon ad kedon is bishata shitin yomin. Here's a problem. In a year where there are two Adars, and the proclamation is made on the first of the first Adar, so what's going to happen now is there's 60 days. So, right, you ever get those letters in the mail, okay, I'm obviously speaking from personal experience, where it says that in 60 days you need to give this much money. Okay, 60 days, okay. Put the envelope on the side. All right, 60 days is a long time from now. Okay, and you don't start shaking. So in other words, then the Gemara basically says, same phenomena, same problem. If we start making announcements 60 days in advance, no one's going to move, no one's going to be really committed to giving money. I have 60 days to do so. So Klum Amru Yotzim Af, I'm sorry. So that's why, in a year where there are two Adars, the first Adar, it's too early to make the announcement of the bringing of the shekel. Wait till the beginning of the second Adar. And Klum Amru Yotzim Af Al HaKlaim. And another reason why we go out on the first day of Adar is because we're going to announce to everybody, hey, make sure you don't have klaim growing out in your field, because in 2 weeks from now, we're coming around. So, if we're going out the first Adar, what does that mean? That's not good. Lo kedei shiyu etzmachim nikarim, im omer et ba'adar rishon, ad kedon inan dikikin. If you go out in the first Adar, so remember, the reason why there are two Adars in that year is because the first Adar is too early in the season. That Adar is really the end of the winter. It's not the beginning of the spring. So there's not going to be any vegetation out in the field. There's no growth out in the field. So, and making an announcement on the first day of the first Adar, in terms of climb, is also not going to be productive. It's not going to be helpful because nobody has any growth at that point in the year. So, in a year where there are two Adars, so the right time to make your proclamation, even though the Mishnah doesn't tell us this, but the Gemara Yerushalmi says, but it's clear, it's obvious, the right time to do it would be the beginning of Adar Beis, not the first day of Adar Beis, not the first day of Adar Aleph. Rabbi Chizkiah Sha'al. Rabbi Chizkiah asks, now the Tiklin Charetin, by the way, I generally speaking, I'm using the Tiklin Charetin as the parish. I have no biography, I don't know anything about the Tiklin Charetin as a commentary. It just seems to be, I asked around, I did a little bit of research. It seems to be that that's what people do. There are, on our page of Gemara alone, there are four separate commentaries on the Yerushalmi. I mean, I could go through all four, but whatever. I chose one. So generally speaking, I go through the Tikkun Chatatin. So he writes over here that the word Sha'al does not mean, it doesn't mean he asked, meaning he didn't know and he's inquiring. The word Sha'al means that, in the context of the Yerushalmi, means that he already formed his own opinion. He wanted to see if other people are in agreement with him. That's the tone of the word Sha'al in the context of the Yerushalmi. So Rabbi Chizkiya Sha'al Ata B'nei Bava Mashmim Al Ashkala Mirosho Shel Shalchoreif. Question goes as follows. Look, why do we announce on the first day of Adar to bring Shkalim? Very simple. Because the money has to come in the first day of Nisan. Okay, 30 days. Now, remember back then, traveling in Eretz Yisrael was all done by either animal or foot. So in other words, you obviously had to give time for people or messengers, meaning you probably didn't go to Yerushalayim yourself. You gave money to a messenger to bring to Yerushalayim. 30 days is about the right amount of time where the expectation is that you'll announce on the first day of Adar, and your monies can make it to Yerushalayim by the first day of Nisan. Okay, good. But those weren't the only Jewish communities at the time. There were Jewish communities in Bavel. And that was not a 30-day trip. That was much more. So basically what I'm wondering, this is now Rabbi Chizkiya asking or looking for confirmation on this, but I think basically that, you know, in Bavel, they should make the announcement earlier in the year. Meaning, not the first day of Adar, because 30 days, the money's not going to get to Yerushalayim a month later. I think that the announcement should be made sometime in the winter. It's not clear exactly when in the winter, but in other words, basically, we understand the travel time is longer, so in Bavel, you should make the announcement sometime in the middle of the winter, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is coming up a couple months from now, 3 months from now, 4 months from now, right? Time to start sending your shekel to Yerushalayim. Okay? So, this is his thought process. It's good. So, lo kedeshi avi yisro sheklaim ba'on asan. Again, rhetorical question. Isn't the whole purpose of making the announcement so that the monies would arrive at time? So, v'titarin shumas alishka min chadasha bizmana be'echad b'nisan. So, I think basically, and he's looking for confirmation, I think that in Bavel they should make the announcement earlier. Hesiv rav ula kumi ribi mana. So, conversation ensues in the base medrash. Rabbi Ula, Rabbi Mana, and they basically say, I don't think you're right. I think they would make the proclamation in Bavel on the first day of Adar. Now, granted that money's not going to make it to Yerushalayim by the first day of Nisan, basically he says, all right, so what? The Gemara says, it's not a big deal, and how do I know it's not a big deal? Because, look at a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah we're going to see together later on in the Masechta. B'shosha pragam b'shana tarmim mesalishka. They would go into the chamber where their money was, and they would take money out from the chamber 3 times a year. Meaning the actual removal of the money from the lishka was a formal event, occurring 3 times a year. Prosa Pesach, Prosa Tzeres, Prosa Chag. 15 days before Pesach, otherwise known as Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 15 days before Shavuos, and 15 days before Sukkos. So it was done 3 times a year. Now, question. Why was it done 3 times during the course of the year? Meaning, why not have one distribution of money in the beginning of the year? The collection is going to be occurring up until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and just simply have one distribution in the beginning of the year. Why are we having this Truma Salishka 3 times over the course of the year? So what he is suggesting, Amar Lei, Neimer Ilan de Kraven Beprosa Pesach Ilan de Rechokin Beprosa Atzeres VeIlan de Rechokin Minhon Beprosa Chag. I know the reason why. He's arguing the reason why is because not all monies are coming in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The people living proximate to Yerushalayim, so their monies are going to make it into the Lishka by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we do a Truma because of those monies. But then people living further away, their monies are going to be coming in a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later. So that's why there's a second Truma occurring 15 days before Shavuos. And then people living out all the way out in Bavel, their monies are not going to make it in until 4 or 5 months later. Good. That's why we're going to do a Truma 15 days before Sukkos. So that we'll have now another Truma. So what he's arguing is the reason why there are three trumas over the course of the year is to account for the fact that the monies are all not going to be collected on the first day of Nisan, but rather monies are coming in over the course of the year. So I don't think, in other words, now let's put all this together. I don't think, says the Zamorayim in the Beis Medrash, that that they would make the announcement any earlier in Bavel. The announcement on Bavel would be on the first day of Adar, and the fact that their monies would be coming in later, he says, fine, I don't think it's a big deal. Amar Lei, Kulo Ke'achas Hiba'a. And he says, now we're on the top of Beis Amid Beis, he says, I disagree, it's all coming at the same time. No, the monies are all coming in at the same time. And by the way, the Gemara doesn't discuss this, but the Tikkun Chatitin has this, a lengthy discussion over here. Part of what the issue of the argument is can I use community funds that haven't yet been collected? Can I use basically account receivables for the purchasing of carbonos? And so that's one of the underlying discussions that's taking place in the Gemara over here. Do I need all the monies in by the first day of Nisan or no? Is it acceptable for at least the potential monies to come in and to account for not only monies that are actually in, but monies that are coming in as well? That's the Tikkun Chatitin says that's a lot of what the issue is here in the Gemara, even though the Gemara does not really articulate any of that. But anyway, he says, no, I disagree. All the monies are coming in and we'll make it into the Lishka by the first day of Nisan. And he says, and why? Why is it then that we do the Truma three times a year? He says, the reason why is because Pumbi Ladavar. We want to publicize. In other words, the Jewish people are coming in to Yerushalayim. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do this formal distribution, the formal separation from the Lishka, so that people there are seeing, oh, our public money is being put to use. Meaning that money that was collected is actually going to be used to buy the carbon. So that people understand that the carbon that's being brought in the Beis HaMikdash is really nothing more than just all the public monies that were collected. Okay. Let's do a little bit more for today. Rav Yehuda Mepaz B'Shem Rabbi, Hein Nikrav Lo Nivas. You know, the Jewish people are funny. This is not my editorial. I'm explaining the Gemara. The Jewish people are funny because when they're called to donate, so they're good but not great. And sometimes if it's for a good cause, you'll get some response, but if it's for a bad cause, you'll get an overwhelming response. And the Gemara says, and you read these psukim, and how can you read these psukim and not recoil at these psukim? Says Rav Yehuda ben Pazi. So, letovah kol nediv lev. Meaning, when the money was asked from the Jewish people for the Mishkan, so who gave? Nediv lev. People who had a generous heart. Meaning, not everybody. People had a generous heart. And l'rav, v'isparku kol ha'am. But then when it came time for the collection of the Chet Ha'egel, so who gave? Kolam. Oh, that's everybody. Everybody got into it. Another example. When it came time to get the Jewish people to Har Sinai to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what did Moshe have to do? He had to push the Jews to Har Sinai. Let's go. And then, that's the V'yotze Moshe Asa'am. And Lara, however, when it came time to complain, V'tikruvu nalai kulchem. Moshe didn't have to push, meaning they were pushing their way to Moshe. L'tova az yesh Moshe uvnei Yisrael. Another example, third example. When it comes time to erupt into song, so we're not good at erupting into song. Moshe led the Jewish people in song, and then, okay, fine, I get it. Yeah, okay, it's our time to sing. However, l'rav, v'tisa kol ha'ida. But when it comes to time to sing the song of complaining, oh, we're good at that, right? V'tisa kol ha'ida. We all got into the act. So again, so he notes that to do good things, not everybody, but l'ra, we all that speaks to us all too easily. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Achin Ashkimu Hashchitu. Not only that, but we get up early in the morning to do these kinds of acts, to do these destructive acts. We did it early in the morning. Now, as the Tikkun Chatitin points out, when it comes to mitzvahs, what do they say? Zrizin makdim la mitzvahs. people who are zaris, that's not everybody, zrizim makim mitzvahs, but when it comes time to do destructive acts, so that's kind of, everybody gets into it as well. Am Rabbi Abba Barachin, ein at yachol amod al ofya shel umazu. It's hard to understand these people. He's talking about the Jewish people. Nitzban le'egel nosnin. Money was asked to be collected for the egel hazav. They gave. Nitzban le'mishkan nosnim. And meanwhile, money was asked to for the mishkan, and they give as well. Meaning it's hard. There's just a difficult people to understand, and I don't understand them. Tana Ravi Yehuda Barchana. I don't know. I've just... Hadama Asnisa Asisa Kaparit Zahav Tahor. Yavo Zahav Shal Kaparit Vichaper Zahav Shal Egel. The gold of the Kaparit will come as a Kapara, as an atonement for the gold of the Egel. You know, we just started to say for Shmos. I got to end. But we just started to say for Shmos. You know, Shmos, there's a major, major debate going on amongst the Rishonim, amongst the Mefarshim. The Mishkan that we were instructed to build at the end of Sefer Shmos, which takes up four parshios, Truma, Tetzava, Vayakob, Pekudei, was that Mishkan a response to the Egel, or no? Or we were supposed to build the Mishkan already, even without Chet Egel? That's a major debate. Rashi takes a position, it's a response. Meaning, because of Chet Egel, so the Mishkan was there as an atonement. What's the problem with Rashi's pshat? The problem is that Truma and Tetzava come before Parshas Kisisa. Rashi's response to that, Ein Muktam Amuchar B'Torah, there's no order in the Torah. Don't look for sequence, chronological sequence. So this Gemara over here that says that the gold of the Kaparis is coming to atone for the gold of the Egel, so that's supportive of Rashi. The Gemara says, and the Ramban on Chumash strongly disagrees. He says, no. From the very beginning, we were planning on building a Mishkan with or without the Chet HaEgel. Let me just get to the two dots and we will conclude for today. Rabbi Chaga b'Shem, Rabbi Shimon, Gamaliel, Shalosh Trumas Namru b'Parsha. There are three Trumas mentioned in the Parsha. You look at the beginning of Rashi and Parsha's Kisisa, you're going to see basically this Gemara Yerushalmi is Rashi on the Parsha. Zos Trumas Adanim, v'Trumas Shkalim, v'Trumas HaMishkan. And we're just going to go through the Pesukim and we're going to identify each one. Da'abel b'nei Yisrael v'chuli Trumas, v'Trumas Adanim. There were silver sockets that were on the base of all the wooden pillars that surrounded the Mishkan. There was a shekel. That was a shekel that was collected for operating expenses to buy the karbanos. And finally, number three, the actual collection for the building of the Mishkan. Right, that was the building fund. So trumas hamishkan lemishkan mashiyirtzu yasu trumas shkalim lekarban mashiyirtzu yasu kidei shei yad kulan shaveh. And the reason why there was a collection for the operating, and that was a constant half shekel, is so that everybody would have an equal share in the karbanos. In terms of the building, not everyone had an equal share. Whoever gave a lot gave a lot. Whoever gave a little. In terms of the karbanos, everyone has an equal share. Trumas adanim la adanim ha'yashir lo yarbev adal lo yamit. And in terms of the adanim, that was also a fixed collection because we knew exactly that wasn't a variable. We knew exactly how much adanim were necessary to build the Mishkan. So therefore, the collection for the adanim was a fixed amount from everyone. Three more lines. I'm sorry. I apologize for going over time today. Amar Rabbi Abban, Afa Parsha Zos, Nemar Bad Gimel Chumos, Machetzisa Shekel, Chumas Hashem, Yitain Chumas Hashem, Latetzis Chumas Hashem. You'll go through the Psukim, and you will find three times the mention of the word Truma, representing these three different collections. One for the sockets, one for the operating, the buying of the karbanos, and one for general building collections. Okay. Adkan, that's where we're going to stop today, at the two dots. Tomorrow we pick it up from the two dots on the Beis Amud Beis. And welcome to the Gemara Yerushalmi.